Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Deborah Cobray.
So this morning, I want to talk to you about what a soul tie is and what it means and how do we break free from it. So we're going to be looking at the psuche, the soul of man, and we're going to be looking at ourselves because once you understand how you operate, it's easier to see the holes and it's easier to understand the pitfalls. It doesn't mean we're not going to fall in those holes again. But that's where the grace of God and the goodness of God comes in and pulls us out of every season. I'm going to be 70 in 2020. I have walked a lot of years. I've pastored with my husband. We raised this church up. We've pastored three churches. I have fallen in a lot of holes. And if you knew the holes that I'd fallen into, and if you knew my life, it would be easy for you to judge me. But I'm so grateful that he doesn't. That he knows my inworkings and my outworkings. He knows what happened to me, the words that were spoken to me, maybe as a small child. I don't even remember, don't even need to. He knows the situations that shaped my personality. He understands my weaknesses and he knows my strengths. Just like he knows your weaknesses and he knows your strengths. And the bottom line is, no matter what you do, no matter what you do to him, no matter what you do to yourself, the bottom line is, it's not going to keep you from still being his daughter. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, you're a daughter of God. You can't earn it any more than you could have chosen to be the daughter, the flesh-born daughter of your parents. You just were because they had you and you were born into that family. You didn't have a choice. In the new birth, in the new creation, we have the choice to say yes and be born again. Once that happens, he holds you in the palm of his hand. You are now his daughter, and he is on the great business of only his business, and only he can do it, and that is changing you and rearranging your inside soul and changing your perspective and helping you to see how absolutely delightful you are, how loved you are by him, how you were fearfully and wonderfully made. And no matter what choices you've made or what things have happened in your life, you cannot stop being his daughter. You can't make him too mad at you that he doesn't want anything to do with you. You can't disappoint him so badly that he'll say, I give up, that's it, I'm finished. Because love never stops believing. And he will never stop working and believing and helping you through this amazing, glorious journey called life. But we mess up. We find the holes and we fall in them. We create the holes. We dig our own holes. And that's what soul ties are. So let's look and see what the word says. Father, thank you. Oh, Father, I'm so rusty. I haven't taught for a while, and I just ask that you'd help me. And that, Lord, my words would fall away and your words would come forth. And that these beautiful hearts, these beautiful girls, your daughters, that they would catch a glimpse and lay hold in faith of the incredible love and power that you have over them and in them, and that you love them and you're not quitting on them. Thank you for making us perfect, that you are the God that perfects that which concerns us. And you who have begun a good work will perform it and complete it until the day of your coming. And so we thank you, Father, for our King. We thank you for Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. May he teach this lesson through me. I yield to him in Jesus' name. Amen. There have been many teachings about soul ties. Most of the teachings surround the subject of past sexual encounters and relationships, but it's a bit more than that. In this lesson, we want to impart a basic understanding of what makes up the soul. Healthy and unhealthy soul ties and how to break free of them. So we have a lot of ground to cover. So I'm going to teach. I'm going to do a lot of reading. Because if I go off on my own tangent, God only knows where we're going to be. So what is a healthy soul tie? Definition. A healthy soul tie is when the soul is tied together to someone or something with a single purpose of fulfilling God's plan. A healthy soul tie always has a selfless motive. So think about it. A healthy soul is when the soul is tied together to someone or something. Another word for tied can be positioned. When the soul is positioned together to someone or something with the single purpose of fulfilling God's plan. A healthy soul position always has a selfless motive, because here's the deal. You and I are on planet Earth. When we got born again and saved, why didn't God just beam us up and get us out of here? Because there's a plan. God's great business. He is love. That's who he is. Agape is his nature. That's how he operates. God is agape. God is love. God's love, your needs at my expense. The human love, the fallen love, self-centeredness. My needs at your expense. It's selfish. So human love is selfish. God's love is always giving. God came and created this planet to make a bride for his son, a companion. Just like Adam had to have Eve, the son needs a bride. She's called the church. Jesus' great purpose was coming to redeem and reconcile and restore the church, bring her out of the darkness of humanity. She gets born again and she gets the new nature of God, his love nature. We are a new creation in him. And the great business of the church is telling the great story and being the witness and bringing the kingdom of heaven and God's plan and purpose as the church to our generation so that the world can be saved. Because basically, you and I are here to learn how to operate in our new nature, which is agape love. That's why we're here. If you're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ in eternity, then like Eve had to have Adam's nature, I've got to have God's nature, right? Does that make sense? Nature. Nature. You are born into a nature. A dog is a dog. A cat is a cat. A human being has a fallen nature. When you and I get born again, we get a new nature. You cannot have a new nature. You are born into it. That's why there is the word born again. My spirit has to be recreated. Are you with me? So I'm here to learn how to flesh out the new nature of God. And it's going to come through all kinds of things. Persecution. It's going to come through trouble. It's going to come through every kind of thing that you can imagine that God's going to allow you to walk through on this planet so that it can change us. So that we look like him. Because we're going to get we're engaged. There's a wedding coming. And we're going to reign and rule for eternity with Jesus Christ as the bride. The church is the bride. It's a metaphor of husband and wife. So God designed us to be in unity and community. He made us in his image. He first let Adam see that he was alone. Remember? God said the only thing that wasn't good in creation was one thing. Adam was alone. God said, let us make man in our image. Us, plurality, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We've seen the Trinity. But Adam had no one like him. So when he brought creation by him and he named them and he ruled over them, he saw that they all had a companion, but he was alone. So he first let Adam see that he was alone, that it was not good. He brought creation to name and rule. He saw that he had no companion like him. He put him to sleep, created and brought woman out of him, and the two became one flesh. It was always God's plan to bring us together. First in blood covenant with marriage. Through sexual intimacy came life and family. And then into community, tied in unity to bring his kingdom plan to earth. That's always been the plan of God. Can I say it again? It's always been God's plan to bring us together first in blood covenant in marriage. That's where there was male and female. The woman was brought out of the man, just like at the side of the cross when they were stuck the spear into his side and he bled and he was wounded. Out of the side of Jesus Christ, out of that sacrifice came the church, came the new creation. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. He went to that cross to bring forth his bride. He had to be the sacrifice. We couldn't do it. It's always God's plan to bring us together, first in blood covenant with marriage. Through sexual intimacy came life and family, and then into community tied into unity. First the man, then the woman, then the children through sexual relationship and blood covenant marriage. We're going to look at this in a minute. That's why sexual sins are a sin against the body, and we'll explain that to you. Came life and family, then into community tied in unity to bring his kingdom plan to earth. Through the fall, the sin nature of man took the lead. The flesh ruled the soul as our spirit died and was separated from God's word and ways. Can I just have you throw up that picture of body, soul, and spirit? There we are. We are three parts. We're going to look at that today because we're going to study the soul. You have a body. You have been given a soul. And you are spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. When the fall came, and Adam and Eve transgressed, and they disobeyed God's law, God said, don't eat that, you're going to die. Was he saying that to be cruel? No, he gave them everything. He even had the tree of life in the garden. Everything was there. It's a perfect atmosphere, perfect conditions, perfect father. That's why parents, when your kids screw up, don't go into the guilt thing about what a bad parent you were, because he was a perfect parent and we still screwed up. Everybody's going to have to eat from their own tree, okay? That just saved a lot of you some guilt if you'll remember it. So when we're sin nature, our flesh came and took control, everything changed. The whole thing unraveled. All the perfect and the good now unraveled, and now man was on a path to destruction, and Satan was the overlord of this earth, and we were enslaved into sin. Okay, let's go on. Healthy soul ties position the heart to do God's will. They are not driven by selfish motives. They are under the authority of God's word, his will, and his way, and will always, always produce the fruit of the spirit and not the flesh. So when you saw that, there's the fruit of this, there's the flesh. You see the souls in the center? We're going to go over this today. Is that all right? Your soul is, well, we'll talk about that in a minute. But the flesh, the fallen nature, wants to rule the soul. But the spirit and our human spirit want to rule the soul. Depending on what spirit you're walking in, the flesh or the spirit, your soul is the pivoting point. And you see that little heart? Actually, it should have been bigger. But there's actually a heart up at the top. The man, the hidden man of the heart of humanity is your soul and your spirit. And we'll look at that in a minute. How you can only distinguish them by the word, because it's very nebulous. Are you all right? I know we're going deep. We have to go deep. Is that okay? All right, here we go. Galatians 5, 16, and 26. Let me read this to you. So I say then, so there's two kingdoms, and there's two ways to walk. You walk in the flesh, or you walk in the spirit. That's why if you're double-minded, you're miserable, and you hate yourself. And nothing gets accomplished. That's why Peter said, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. In every arena of life, you either are going to walk in the flesh or you're going to walk in the spirit. If you walk in the flesh, you're going to be screwed up and frustrated, and you can get right back into the spirit. Just talk to God. Run to him. Galatians 5, 16 through 26 says, so I say to you, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the spirit wants. And the spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. So there's this pull back and forth. Because guess what? You still have a sin nature. So do I. I'm a little schizophrenic. I got a lot of voices going on the inside of me. My sin nature is not going to be eradicated until I am completely into full redemption and Messiah has come and I have been translated into a new body. Right now, this is the fight, but it's the very fight that God allowed and designed to put us and bring us into perfection. So the very hardest things in our life are the very most useful things if we walk in the Spirit and let them perfect us. So the spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Can I have that picture just back for a second? See, the fight, the body and the soul, or the spirit and the soul. What's the pivoting point? What's the pivoting point up there? Soul. Your soul. Your mind, your will, your emotions, your personality, your psyche is absolutely either going to be ruled by the flesh or it's going to be ruled by the spirit. Before you are born again, you have no possible way of letting the spirit rule you. In the Old Testament, they looked forward to the cross and they hoped and they waited for Messiah. In the New Testament, we look back to the cross and a new covenant, a new testamentum. That's what these Bibles are, old covenant, new covenant. A new covenant has come into being, and when you and I got born of the Spirit of God and my spirit was recreated by the Holy Spirit, now I have the ability to walk in the Spirit of God and not by the old nature flesh. However, there is still a voice and a choice in my life. So let's see what this says. Galatians, this is key. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you're not free to carry out your good intentions. That's what Romans chapter 7 is. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of sinful death? What I want to do, I can't, or I want to do it and I never get it done. Have you ever been that way? You wake up in the morning, you're going to go on a diet, and this is the day, and by breakfast, it's over. Right? Okay, so I strung a chord there. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Here it comes, the list. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, oh, that's so sneaky, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, hold it. This is not a list of black and white, and God is saying you're either in or you're out, and you're out of here. He is telling you who you are, how your system works, who your enemy is. And these are a list of things that the old nature naturally took to. When I got born again, back in 1977, I was doing drugs, I was sleeping around, I was living the wild life, and swore like a sailor. I don't know why we say that, because I don't know if sailors swear. Had a potty mouth, and the first thing that happened when I said yes to Jesus at Calvary Chapel in that 1977, my mouth cleaned up, because I didn't want to say that, and if I said a bad word, I'd feel bad. Something on the side, just, oh, I don't want to do that. And then I stopped smoking weed and stopped drinking, because I knew that was, I didn't want, it made me feel bad when I did it. I smoked 2 packs of cigarettes a day. God delivered me from that. I threw up when I lit up a cigarette, and I just got so sick I couldn't smoke anymore. That was pure deliverance. He knows me. He knew, oh, she's going to have some help here. The point was, when I got born again, the Holy Spirit came in me, and those things that I took to naturally that were destroying me, I didn't want to do anymore. Is that okay? So that's what it's saying. That's what the list is. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going to have the fullness of God and the kingdom of God working in your life when you screw around like this. It's just going to mess you up. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Here comes His, what He desires in us. Love, agape, the nature of God. Joy. What the heck is joy? It means when all hell's breaking loose, you're in the middle of a storm, and nothing seems to be working, and nothing's changed, and nothing's right, you are still okay and actually can smile, and you have joy over hope in your future. It's joy. His joy. Love. Joy. Peace. Patience. My God, patience. Long-suffering. The ability to endure whatever comes with a good temper. And not giving up. Not just saying, I'm done, I'm finished, I'm through. That's it. It's done. Anybody ever said that? I'm done. Anybody ever said, I'm done? That seems to be in my vocabulary quite a lot. Obviously, am I in the flesh or am I in the spirit? When I say, I'm done, I'm in the flesh, right? That's what he's showing us. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control. What the heck is self-control? Do not put peanut butter and vanilla ice cream in my refrigerator at the same time in the same place and leave me alone. a little vanilla ice cream, a little peanut butter, a little whipped cream, a little vanilla, and then cover it with chocolate. Oh, my gosh. And then a sugar cookie on the side. And I wonder, where did these 20 pounds come from? As there's a whole stack of gallons of ice cream and peanut butter behind me. Self-control. There's no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. So we now have the ability by God to break free of the flesh. Now, this is about helping us to break free and to stay free. Remember that little story of the autobiography? She fell in the hole. Then she walked around the hole, and then she finally got a new path. That's us. You fall in the hole the first time, nobody's fault. My mother used to say, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Did your moms ever tell you that? Yeah. I know, I'm a product of the 50s. God says this is a journey, and I'm going to show you how to get by these holes in your life, how to get free of them and don't climb in them again. And if you do, then I'm going to help you out, and we're going to do it again, 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 because love never fails, and love never gives up, and love never stops. So I don't care if you've fallen into the hole 6,895 times, exponentially to the two. It's going to be get up and do it again. Because you've got a God that doesn't give up on you, so don't you dare give up on yourselves. Many believers have grown tired and weary trying to overcome life struggles. We have battled various addictions, marital problems, financial lack, anxiety, depression, anger, and sexual perversion with little success. The reason, here's the reason. Could it be that we are continually seeking to find things to gratify what our soul is craving and desiring? We're looking in things both natural and spiritual that the Lord has warned us not to partake of. You see, there are needs in our lives. Your soul was created by God. You have desires and needs and wants and longings. Those are not wrong. Those are God-given as a human. But when I take that need and I look outside of God to fulfill it, I am now positioning my soul to grab a hold of something natural or unspiritual in the supernatural, to fill the hole and to fill the need and to fill the desire that God alone, the Trinity alone, can fulfill. Because he is first and foremost God. He is King. He is Lord and he is Savior. And no one is allowed because I am exclusively his. That's what it means to be justified. He has bought me, cleansed me, given me a new nature, and now I exclusively belong to him. So why would I be an unfaithful wife and continually run back to lovers that soothe me that aren't God? You understand? But if we're blinded to it, and if we listen to deception, we're still falling in that hole. We know it's there, but we're still falling in it. Okay? I don't know about you, but I've fallen in it too many times. The great news is we can reverse the negative effects and the experience with his new life. And we can position our souls, we can tie our souls in obedience to the power of the Holy Spirit. We can have the power to overcome the cravings of our flesh by grace through faith. God's given us something miraculous. It says the law came through Moses. The law said what you could do and what you couldn't do. It's the Old Testament. It was before the law came, sin. There wasn't the judgment on sin like there was once the law came into the earth. Are you with me? Listen to me. This is important. So the law was holy, just, and good, but the law said, if you do this, you're damned and you're condemned. So the law could only tell me what I couldn't do and what I could do, but the law never gave me the power to do it and obey it. It was the judge. That's why it condemned us. And sin, Romans 7, taken occasion by the law to condemn us, brought in these temptations. It said, you really want this? This will be good for you. Oh, come on. You're done. Just have that ice cream. Just smoke that cigarette. Just take that joint. Have that extra drink. Flirt with that man. And you see, then it condemned us. But here comes grace. Here comes grace. John wrote, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. All things were created by him and through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. The Word, the second person of the Godhead, comes in, identifies with mankind, is born legally through the womb of a virgin. In the appointed time, God sent his Son, born of a virgin, identified with mankind by wrapping himself in human flesh. You see, God made us, but God had never experienced us. How does infinite become finite? How does infinite experience darkness? How does infinite understand sorrow and temptation? And that's why Jesus had to be perfected as the high priest of our confession. He had to walk through every human experience and overcome it so that on that cross he could qualify to be the sacrifice, take our place, and as high priest when he was resurrected, bring his spirit into us, and now we can run boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. You see, grace is God's power. God's sovereign, divine ability to get the job done when I can't. Grace, God's power in me to do what his truth demands of me. I could never do it before, but now I've got a power working on the inside of me that gives me the ability to change, because the war is in the soul. So we're talking about strongholds. We're talking about soul ties. So let's just look. There are a few important points to understand this diagram. So can I have it up again? I don't even know what time is it. I'm okay. There are a few important points to understand this diagram. When we tie or position, I'm going to use the word tie and position in the same place, because it's a choice, isn't it? You see, here's another little nugget. There is no such thing as free will without a corresponding choice. Did God give us free will? The answer to that is yes. How do I know that? Because he put two trees in the garden. Put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and said, don't touch it because you'll die. And he put the tree of life. He said, you can eat from every tree. He didn't even exclude you from the tree of life. He said, but if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're going to die. We know that death, we'll talk about that in a minute. So, free will is a gift. God didn't make robots. He didn't make us and program us so that we'd have to love him. We're not slaves. It's all choice. And there's no such thing as free will without a corresponding choice. You have to be able to choose something else. Got it? So, in life, when we position our souls, when we choose flesh and not spirit, we void the power of the Spirit of God in our lives. Now you're back in the old kingdom, and you're left to your own resources. All right? Grace is there to pull you out when you repent. But until you do, you're there, and you're on your own. Now, God's still with you. He's just going to let you mess around in the mud and get really dirty again until finally you go, okay, pull me out. Right? Has anybody ever been there besides me? All right. The opposite is also true. When we tie or position our souls together with the Holy Spirit of God, we void the power of the flesh. So when I'm walking in the Spirit with my soul, the flesh has got to obey and come alongside, and it does what it was always designed to do. This body is an earth suit to carry my soul and my spirit. When I am separated from it, it's called death. Death is not a ceasing to exist. Death is separation. When God said, Adam, if you eat from the tree, you're going to die. Adam didn't cease to exist. Adam's spirit was separated from God, and he hid himself, and he was afraid. And God said, where are you? He says, I'm hiding from you because I'm naked. God says, who told you you were naked? You'd always been naked, but you carried righteousness and sanctification, and you were justified in my sight. You had robes on you of righteousness and glory and light. Now they're gone because you've been separated from me. You ate from the tree. He knew it, but, you know, he wanted Adam to know it. God doesn't ask you a question because he doesn't know the answer. Because our flesh and our spirit war against each other, they cannot be tied together. It is impossible. The flesh and the spirit war against each other. That's where the war is. And the soul is the hinge. So your mind, your will, your intellect, your personality, your emotions, it's in battle. It's in battered. Do you ever feel battered? Your brain, your mind, your personality, your essence, who you are. Do you ever just feel battered? Of course you do. Don't look at me like, huh? You know you do. But you see, in Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, there's a power and a newness of life that comes in and can switch it in a nanosecond. That's the glory of this. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify, which means set you apart and perfect you. Sanctify you completely. We're under a program of perfection. We're working there. We're on our way. We're on a road. We're on a journey of sanctification, perfection. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God identifies you as a three-part being. You have a body, you are a soul, and you've been given a spirit by God. God is spirit. Man was made in his image. We know that. Let us make man in our image. I don't have to go to Genesis. You already know that. John 4:22, Jesus said to the woman at the well. It's amazing to me how he identified unbelievable truths to Samaritans and to Gentiles and to pagans that didn't have the law and didn't have all the understanding. He told her who he was. And it says, you worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. That's why the Jewish people, they were given salvation. Jesus was going to come through that lineage. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father. Now listen, worship is not singing a song. When the Magi came to Jesus and they bowed down and they gave him gifts and they worshiped him, they didn't sing a song to him. Worship is obedience. Worship is bowing down your life and recognizing that you are the King, that you are the Almighty, that you are God. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. And those that come to him must believe that he is. He is God. He is Almighty. He's creator of heaven and earth. All things that come were made by him and through him and for him. Nothing was made that was not made by him. He holds all things together by the word of his power. So worship is coming to him and acknowledging and bowing your spirit and your soul, saying, you alone are God in heaven and you alone are God in the earth. That's worship. Doesn't mean we can't sing, and that's also worship. You know, two fast songs, two slow songs. The hour's coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. You see, he wanted us back. There was something that had to happen. Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. You are a spirit. You're made in the image of God. Your human spirit, when it was born into this earth, was separated by the sin nature that you were born into. That is why the new birth, when you say yes to Jesus, he says you must be born again. It doesn't mean that you didn't exist. It simply meant that you were separated. And now he joins you back to the Father. First, he buys you back through the cross. And then he brings you back to the Father. And then he restores and gives back everything that was lost. That's how amazing this life is, girls. So, our spirit has been reborn. Human spirit separated from God to the fall, from the fall, died spiritually. The new birth, you're born again. The soul, let's talk about the soul. Can I have the picture back up? Cam, thanks. Soul. Okay, what's the soul? Well, let me tell you what the word is. Psuche. It's P-U-S-C-H-E. And the pronunciation is Suke. That's where we get the word psychology, psychiatrists, psychedelics. It all has to do with the mind, the soul. All right? Suke is the soul as distinguished from the body. It is the seat of affections, will, desire, emotions, mind, reason, and understanding. Suke is the inner self or the essence of life. The word often denotes persons or self. It is not dissolved by death. Body and spirit may be separated, but spirit and soul can only be distinguished. In other words, we're delving into things that we know in part. Then we will see and we will know fully. We know God is spirit. He's given us spirit, right? Now, the soul is your personality. It's who you are. It's what makes you you, the uniqueness of you. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit." Only the word can divide your soul and your spirit. Only the word. Soul and spirit can only be distinguished. They cannot be divided except by the word. All right? Joints and marrow and discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So your heart, the hidden man of the heart, who you are, makes your spirit and your soul together. And that is the battle. Can I have that back? Spirit and soul, alive in Christ. Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Walking in the kingdom of God, walking by faith, walking in love, reproducing the fruit of the Spirit of God, love, joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, faith, self-control. You see, that's who we really are. It's like Proverbs 31. It's not who we're supposed to be. It's really who we are. But now I got to access it because I got a lot of crud still in me. Remember that old nature? Did you ever see that Disney movie with Goofy? You know, he was a good driver, bad driver. He was an angel and a demon, and he sat on one side and the other. The devil spoke to him, and the angel spoke to him. Do you remember anybody old enough to remember that cartoon? Two natures. Okay, so you're going to have the battle in your soul. That's where it goes. So don't think you're crazy. I told you, we're all bipolar. Every one of us are bipolar. We are. And I'm not making fun of anyone that has that soul sickness. But let's just be honest with each other. We are in transition and change, and we're all on a journey. Some are further than others, but that's why to judge each other is absolutely useless and pointless, because we've all come from different paths, and we've climbed into different holes or fallen into them. So let's just get that right now. So our soul is our personality, our intellect. The body is made up of the elements of the earth. That's why they can check you out and do all the DNA and everything, and you look just like the earth. Of course, it's our earth suit. It covers your soul and your spirit. You're going to separate it from it. It's called death. You're going to separate from your body. The body's going to go back to dust. You ever seen those old movies, dust to dust, ashes to ashes? Kind of depressing. Well, that's what God said. Your body's going to go back to the dust. I'm giving you a new body. I'm giving you an eternal body. You're going to look like Jesus. It's not going to be what you're wearing right now. It's going to be a whole new garment to house you in eternity. And it's not going to wear out. It's not going to get old. Thank God. And I'm going to have big, thick hair because I've asked for it. All right. What is an unhealthy soul tie? When we have tied ourselves or positioned our souls to something or someone for the purpose of comforting and satisfying our flesh, we've created an unhealthy soul tie. An unhealthy soul tie always has a selfish motive. So, unhealthy soul ties. Is that my phone? Is that Rhythm of the Rain? No, I have that on mine. Okay. I was 11 years old, 1961. Listen to the rhythm of the falling rain. Okay. Sorry. Don't even know that song, do you? Okay. Unhealthy soul ties are centered. See, women, we can choom, go right back. Unhealthy soul ties are centered on quieting the cries and cravings of the flesh. When we use the counterfeit things of this world to feel at peace, we become dependent on them. When we use the counterfeit things of the world to feel at peace, we become dependent on them. That's how we develop bad habits. I eat not because I'm hungry, but because I'm bored, or I'm sorrowful, or I'm lonely, or whatever. It could be a million different reasons, right? I'm using food. Ultimately, they become distractions and deter us from God's plan. If we take a look at the verse below, we are instructed to clothe ourselves with Jesus. That's why Jesus said, take off the old garment, put on the new. Many of us have lived our lives trying to find warmth and security by gratifying our sinful nature. We wear our issues like an old tattered coat. Jesus is saying, get rid of the old coat. I want you to be covered with my righteousness. And I want you calm and joyful, and I want your life good. I came to give you abundant life. All right, so anything that brings me under its power is not healthy. So let's read a verse, and how do I know if my soul is positioned or tied to unhealthy things? All right, First Corinthians 6:12-15. Let's go there because of time. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. He's come to give me an abundant life. He says, all things are lawful, but not everything's helpful. I can have a donut. It's probably the dozen. All things are lawful. Now, obviously, he's not talking about what he's forbidden. But not everything is helpful. And here's how you're going to know it. I will not be brought under the power of any. So my question to you is, in a soul tie, or when you've inaccurately positioned your soul and your life is frustrated in an area of your life, let me ask you this question. What in your life could be bringing you under its influence and power? What is it? You might want to write that down. We all have something, probably. Maybe some of us don't have anything because you're pretty well close to where you're supposed to be. However, I have many, okay? Anything that brings me under its power is not healthy. Anything. Only God can fill that sacred place in my heart. He alone is Lord, and my allegiance is solely to him as Lord, God, and King. So what is it in your life? Is it weight? Is it image? Is it wine? Is it cigarettes? Is it drugs? Well, let's look. Let's look at some examples of unhealthy soul ties. I'm going to go quickly over these. Overly dependent relationships with friends, parents, children, spouse, and siblings. Overly dependent. Jesus said in Matthew 10:36, he said, a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Even family relationships can get in the way of God. That's unhealthy. God told us to be in covenant with our families, but not at the expense of who God is, sovereign king in our lives. How about this one? Food. Oh, God, I hate this. I told Jessica, why are you making me teach this? Jeez. If we are living to eat instead of eating to live, it's an unhealthy soul tie. I hate that. When we eat because we're anxious, angry, or bored, it's unhealthy. Well, I eat because I'm anxious, angry, bored, or just bored, or I just love food. I love the taste of it. Don't you? Okay. How about this one? It's probably why 90% of Americans are overweight. Okay, there we go. Money shopping. We feel the need to always have the latest thing or fashion or have a compulsive need to buy things even if we can't afford them. We have an unhealthy position, an unhealthy heart tie to something. It's making us feel better about ourselves if we can have that car, we can have that dress, we can have this or have that, the latest color, this or that. If we are greedy and manipulative with money, we can have an unhealthy soul tie. Mammon can have that tie on us. How about this one? Alcohol and drugs. Now, everybody just don't look at your neighbor and just look down. When we use mind and mood-altering drinks and drugs to cope with our inner pain, depression, boredom, and anxiety, we have an unhealthy soul tie. When prescription drugs are taken for reasons other than prescribed, they are an unhealthy soul ties to us. Now listen, your doctor's going to prescribe medicine. Don't stop taking it. If you need to take it, please take it. That's not what this is saying. It's when you can't stop it, and when you can't get better, or when you don't improve, and you have to have it, and it's there to change your mood and alter your life, then maybe we need to look at, okay, let's begin to wean ourselves off of this, and let's learn how to grab a hold of the joy of God and the goodness of God, okay? This is not to condemn anyone in here. And, you know, God says, don't be drunk with wine. He didn't say you couldn't have wine. He didn't say you couldn't drink. He says, don't be drunk. So he's put boundaries around things because he knows it has a bite. He knows it has a voice. It has an influence in your life. And if you like it too much and if you need it, then it's time to say, okay, Lord, I need to wean off of this desire because it's taking the place of you. So you're not condemned if you drink wine or you have a drink. Just don't get drunk. How about this one? Approval. When we find our self-worth in what we do and not in who we are in Christ, that's all of us. That's every person in this room. We find self-worth in what we do, what we look like, who we're married to, who we're not married to, and not in Christ. That's the journey that we're on, is to find our self-worth in Him. That takes some time. It takes being in the Word and changing your perspective. We have an unhealthy soul tie in place. When our focus is on keeping everyone happy with us, we have an unhealthy soul tie. I mean, you just want everybody to get along and just love each other. Can't we all just get along? Rodney King? Yeah, remember that. When we walk on eggshells and dread letting others down for the fear of rejecting us, we have an unhealthy soul tie. Sometimes we become such people pleasers, and women do this because we want everyone to get along. Oh, God, my family, the Cobras, are nuts. I mean, we have Italian tempers. And I don't have an ounce of Italian blood. I'm Swedish, but I guess those Vikings were pretty rough. You know, you got to watch yourself. When you want to be a people pleaser and not a God pleaser, that's unhealthy. Okay? It's unhealthy. God doesn't want us in relationships where we have to walk on eggshells because, oh gosh, you don't want to get them mad. Oh gosh, you don't want to disappoint them. Oh gosh, they may reject me. Well, if they do and it's godly, then God's going to fight your battle and God's going to make it right. But somewhere you got to pop that thing because it's full of infection and it's not healthy. It's got to be lanced. That boil's got to be lanced. And it's got to come up and get cleansed so that you can move forward in your life. A past relationship. We can't move forward because of past relationships. We're consumed with the thoughts and memories of a past partner. We have an unhealthy soul tie. If we find ourselves comparing our current spouse to previous partners, we have an unhealthy soul tie. If we've lost a loved one and refuse to move forward with our lives for fear of disrespecting or shaming them, we have an unhealthy soul tie. Sex and pornography. This is the big one. If we are relying on sexual acts and encounters outside of marriage to fulfill a longing for intimacy, acceptance, or to feel loved, we have an unhealthy soul tie. If we are addicted to the rush of viewing nude people, watching others engage in sexual acts, and fantasizing about sex with a person to whom we are not married, we have an unhealthy tie. In today's world, you cannot watch a movie drama without it being mature. I started to watch Game of Thrones, and I had to just fast forward the whole thing. It's like, God, I know it's probably a good story, but gee, it's pornography. You can't not see things, but there comes a time in your life where the Spirit of God says, don't watch that shit, don't watch that shit, don't watch that shit, until finally, you know, it all goes buggy and you can't watch it anyway. I have so confused my internet that it just quits on me. So I say, oh, Lord, does that mean I shouldn't be watching this? Yeah. Sex, pornography. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I'll not be brought under the power of any. Food's for the stomach, and the stomach's for food. But God will destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members? This is a member. My arm's a member. My leg's a member. Okay, we're part of his body. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot, a whore, a prostitute? Certainly not. Certainly not. He's talking about sexual sin now. Listen, do you not know that he who's joined to a harlot is one body with her? The two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Therefore, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does against outside the body, every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have formed from God, and you're not your own? You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Listen, I'm going to talk, after I'm finished with this teaching, I'm going to talk about sexual soul ties, because God delivered me from something wonderful. And I want, if, for those of you that want to just hear that, we'll stay afterwards. But let's look at how we untie, how we unposition our souls from things that are hurting us and taking us and keeping us from walking in the Spirit. Can I have that one more time? Just that picture, Cam. Our soul and our spirit are to be together, and our body is to follow. The flesh and the soul are not to rule, because then we're not in the Spirit. You got that? Okay, so here we go. How do I break an unhealthy soul tie? I've got 1 minute to do 5 things. Whew. I really went too long, didn't I? Realize. You got to realize, understand that our Father only wants the abundant life for us. He's not giving you a list of things to do and don't. This is not a list for that you say, oh, check that off, I did it. Check that off, I did it. Check, oops. It's great for people that are disciplined. They can live that way. But for us rebellious ones, we just give up. So I got to realize that God is a physician. He made me. He has the owner's manual. When he tells me not to drink too much wine, when he tells me not to engage in sexual immorality, when he tells me not to do these things, it's because he knows my core. He knows my makeup. He gave it to me. And he knows that those things will only bring me death and destruction. So he's not giving me a Band-Aid. He's going to the very core of the sickness and saying, if you'll stop this, I'm going to heal you. All right, so I got to realize that this is not the law, black and white, but this is God Almighty who loves me and made me and can fix me. Number two, I got to recognize a soul tie. I have to understand, okay, I got something here that's not healthy. I have to ask myself the question, what is bringing me under its influence more than God? And you got to recognize it. If you don't recognize it, you're not ready for help. Three, I got to repent. Repent means change my mind, go in a different direction. I got to go before God with a sober attitude, serious, and say, Lord, I see I'm doing this. This is wrong, and I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. Forgive me. I have not taken your goodness. I've substituted it with something that I'm familiar with, and I'm really honestly sorry, and I want to change. I just don't know how. Repentance. Number four, you got to release yourself. You got to forgive yourself, and you got to forgive other people. If there's been anybody else involved in this, you got to let them go, because Jess already taught on that. You don't forgive, you're not forgiven. Very convenient for a marriage. I could definitely have a checklist for Jim. And then God says, well, you want to see your checklist? Oops, okay, well, it's really not that big of a deal. I'm sorry, I let it go. There you go. Got to release yourself and others. You can write a letter. Don't give them the letter. It's a private letter for no one to read but you. Forgive yourself. Write yourself a letter. Then number five, you got to run. Run. Breaking free teaches you to wean yourself from the comfort of the soul tie. That's so kind. It's true. Wean means to halt, stop, prohibit, to withdraw from some object, habit, form of enjoyment, or the like. We must purposely withdraw our participation in certain relationships, habits, and things we used to cope with life. You got to withdraw from them. When we do start the process of weaning, breaking free lets you have a process. You begin to wean yourself. We can expect discomfort. You'll be irritable, anxious, and even bored at times. Just as a child cries and cries while being weaned from the breast, our flesh will cry out wanting to be satisfied. Following this analogy of a baby, the weaning process moves them along from milk to solid food. The milk could not sustain them into full physical maturity, and our unhealthy soul ties cannot sustain us into full spiritual maturity. So some things weaned, some things you got to run from. Because 2 Timothy 2:22 says, run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the name of the Lord. David said, surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. God wants us to be at peace. So number 5 is run, wean. Number 6 is replace the unhealthy soul tie by establishing new healthy ones. Look to establish ties with people and activities that will allow us to grow spiritually. That's why church is so important. Get in church. Get the word. It's the word that changes you. It's the word. It's the people of God. They're going to help you through this. We're not here to judge each other. Good Lord, we're all crazy without Jesus. We've all lost our minds without Jesus. But now we all have our minds back. We've got the mind of Christ. And can't we together get better? Can't we together grow up into beautiful maturity as women of God, be best friends with each other, old and young, every color, every race, every size, every shape? I'll try not to have hair envy with some of you, okay? I may just say, oh, God, your hair. I'll just try not to do that. Creating healthy boundaries. It's healthy to set boundaries, although it can be difficult for many reasons. Some people need to be off limits to us. Some places need to be off limits. Some things you do need to be off limits. Some places that you've gone to watch need to be off limits. You're just not going to finish the story. You're not going to finish Game of Thrones. You're not going to finish it, even though your best friends have told you everything about it. Some things you just can't do because you're not ready for it. And you'll never be ready for it. And you're exchanging darkness for light. So, just quickly, you got to realize that God doesn't do this to us to make us have a horrible life. He's the physician and the creator. He wants to fix us. He's the only one that can. Got to recognize the soul tie. You got to see it. Oh, okay, it's here. You can negotiate with God, but you got to recognize it. You got to repent, release, wean, run from it, replace it. And that's that. Unhealthy soul ties.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.